Very good. We're in Acts chapter 1, final week in Acts 1, and the next week over in chapter 2. Faith has got our song tonight. We'll enjoy that. Jump right in Acts 1. Find it in your Bible. Medley of salvation songs there. Nothing wrong with that. On a Wednesday night, you never know when God will speak to the heart of somebody who needs to be saved in church. Amen. And certainly heed the admonitions of those songs. If you're not saved, you need to open your heart to Christ. Boy, if the Spirit of God speaks to you, don't hesitate. Amen. We're in Acts 1. We're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the fountain filled with blood and for amazing grace and for the power of Jesus' name that brought us under conviction and showed us our need of a Savior, and allowed us to open our heart and let Him in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the change that You made when You moved in. I pray, God, if there's anybody in our church, even in this building tonight, not saved, that You please do a sweet and yet strong work of conviction in the heart to show them their need of Christ as a Savior. Lord, thank You for the good music, the good prayer time. Now I pray that You'll help me be a blessing and a help to the church, the people. Help us to learn. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Last week, we talked about these verses in chapter 1, beginning at verse number 6 and going through the end of the chapter, serving as a link between the things that Jesus began to do and that which He continued to do. And if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, you kind of don't know the gist of what we're talking about. But these verses, they serve as a link, if you will, between the Gospel of Luke, which is what Jesus began to do, and the book of Acts, which is what Jesus continued to do. So these verses serve as that link, if you will, between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Now this chapter contains two last looks. We looked at one of the last looks last week. Well, there's a lot of hells in that, amen. But the last look of at the disciples before Pentecost. Now it also contains, this chapter does, our last look at Jesus before He was taken up into heaven. And so the only other person, the only couple of folks in the New Testament after Acts chapter 1 that got a glimpse of Jesus Christ would be Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 and then John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. I don't know of any other thing, or any other time, excuse me, or person that had a glimpse of Jesus like those two men did. All right, so this is our last look at Christ before He's taken up into heaven. Now, you remember from last week, the disciples, they exhibit a renewed faith which is seen in their confidence in Jesus, their confidence in each other, and their confidence in the Scriptures. And as we closed last week, remind you, that came about as a result of spending almost 40 days with Christ, 40 days with Him. After He presented Himself alive with many infallible proofs, He stayed with those disciples for 40 days. And after 40 days with Christ, their faith was renewed. And I challenged you last week that if your faith is flagging or failing, you won't do anything better for yourself as far as encouraging your faith than spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. Now look, I'm as much interested in what's going on in the world and the radio's Fox News and I'm very interested in the baseball world. Baseball is my favorite sport. I love it. And I know the Braves are on the brink of elimination. You know, the Cardinals and the Braves are battling it out. And I got a son that's a Cardinals fan. It's ridiculous. But anyway, So I'm interested in that. I know the Cubs are going home. That was decided back in April. I know that, But I'll tell you what. I had some time in the car this week. And I turned that off, and I turned on some good old Christian music and just spent a lot of time praying. Now, I like baseball, but that doesn't renew my faith. And I don't mind hearing what's going on in the world, although that flags my faith, especially when it's about Obama. I can't stand it. Heaven help us. But anyway, they spent 40 days with Christ, and after that, they had a renewed faith. So they had confidence in Christ. Confidence in each other, and confidence in the Word of God, confidence in the Scriptures. Now, they've gathered around Jesus in verse number 3 and 4 here. They're assembled together with Him in verse 4. And they're asking about the restoration of the kingdom. And Jesus, in His last words, corrects them, conditions them, and commissions them. All of what He's going to say is to these disciples. Okay? Quickly, we'll look at these three and then wrap it up with one thought. Now, number one, Jesus corrects the disciples in verse 6 and 7. Look at it. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. So, now, as we said last week, the disciples showed much confidence in Jesus and in Jesus doing what all of the Hebrew people longed for and hoped for, and that is, they longed and hoped for the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Now, Jesus corrects them, watch it, not for their desire for the kingdom to be restored, not for their hope that the kingdom would be restored. He corrects them for their short-sightedness as to the time. Is it time? Is it not? He says in verse, wilt thou at this time? Is this the time? It was not time for the kingdom. Now, their desire for a kingdom overshadowed their desire for others to know of God's salvation. And Jesus pointed out to them, the truth is the Father had not even revealed to Jesus the time for the restoration of the kingdom. Jesus said the only one who knows the time for that restoration is God the Father. This is something unique to the knowledge of God the Father. Now I've got to confess to you that I can't wrap my mind completely around that. But this is not the only place that Jesus said that. Jesus said, nobody knows, not even the Son, only the Father. So this knowledge is somehow unique, if you will, to God the Father, okay? And so this is He corrected them. Their confidence in Jesus setting up the kingdom would not go unrewarded. The kingdom will be set up. But watch me, they needed to be more concerned that the world hear the message of salvation. And that's what He corrected them for. And we can learn from this correction. Look, we know that Jesus is coming in the rapture. We're not looking for the restored kingdom. We're looking for the rapture. When you read about all these folks out in the Christian world talking about building the kingdom, that's not what we're doing. We're involved in rescuing people off a sinking ship. Okay? Now, we know Jesus is coming for us in the rapture. We know that He will take us to heaven. And we know that we will receive glorification when we see Him. And people, that is exciting and that is wonderful. And that excites my heart to the place where sometimes when we have songs about heaven, or we have songs about the rapture, or we have songs here about what we'll be when we see Jesus, you know, I get excited. I raise my hand. I say amen and shout a little bit. There's nothing wrong with being excited about those wonderful events. But, it is possible to get so focused on that event, on the rapture and on heaven, so focused on that, that we lose sight of the consequences for those who are not saved. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them. You know, when we experience the rapture, it will be wonderful. But what happens when the rapture takes place? The tribulation begins. And then 7 years later, Armageddon, and Jesus comes and sets up His kingdom. And many people will not have the opportunity to get saved after the rapture, which means the time is limited for them to be saved. And that's what Jesus corrected His disciples. You've got the wrong time in your focus. You don't need to be focused on the time of the kingdom. What you need to be focused on, it's time for the world to hear the gospel message. And that's how He corrected them, okay? The disciples need to be far more concerned with getting people saved as opposed to restoring the kingdom. And you and I, in this day and age, although it's okay for us to get excited about the rapture and shout about it, we ought to be more concerned about people coming to Christ than we are us going to be with the Lord. All right. So the disciples, they needed to be more concerned about the work Jesus had for them to do, as opposed to the wonder of the kingdom that would come later. Now, this is something that is especially true about the camp meeting movement. I like camp meetings. I've been to camp meetings, and I mean, you know, things are called camp meeting nowadays that aren't really what old-fashioned camp meetings were. I've been to some old-fashioned camp meetings. Sammy Allen has two or three of them a year. I've been there, enjoyed that. I've been to some other camp meetings. And, you know, camp meeting is kind of historically a time when God's people get together and there's a bunch of singing and shouting and praising God and a lot of preaching about heaven and a lot of preaching about the rapture and a lot of preaching about when we'll see Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. Used to be a great camp meeting down here in Tremont, Illinois, when I was serving with Brother Brown out in Iowa. We came to the Calvary Baptist camp down here in Tremont, Illinois. Virgil Graham, Kenny Graham, his son, preached here for one of our preacher's family conferences. Brother Kenny Graham preached up at Elgin last week. I've known Brother Kenny since I was back in Iowa, since the early 80s, since 1984, probably maybe before that. And his daddy had a great camp meeting down here in Tremont, Illinois. A great camp meeting. And camp meeting always attracts some weirdos. Always does. Always attracts, you know, the gospel light attracts a lot of different kind of bugs, amen, you know. And camp meeting was attracts some weird dudes, I'm telling you, weird guys. And I remember one time Brother Graham was having everybody introduce themselves who was a new visitor to the camp meeting. And this guy stood up and he was pointing to himself. When he was introducing himself, he was pointing to himself. And his eyeballs were like this, I mean, you know, just. And buddy, those camp meetings are getting known for. And that camp meeting was like that. They'd shout, but Virgil Graham had it straight. And Brother Gomez attended that camp meeting several times. One time, they were down there, and man, I mean, it was getting on, and the glory was coming, and they were shouting, and they were running, and hooping and hollering, and everything. And I mean, the crowd was just a buzz, you know, just cranked. And Brother Graham walked over to, I mean, they were shouting and carrying on during a song. And Brother Graham walked over to Brother Gomez. He said, "Keith." I said, "I want you to preach on soul winning and bring this crowd back down to earth." Brother Gomez got up and preached on soul winning. Because that's our focus. It's okay to shout about the rapture. It's okay to shout about heaven. It's okay to be excited about it. Man, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as Jesus is pure. Nothing wrong with that. Keeping our eye on the coming of the Lord helps us stay excited about it. And seeing Jesus is a wonderful event for Him. But I'm going to tell you something. The disciples had their focus on the wrong time. It's not time for the kingdom. It's time for the world to hear the message of Jesus Christ. In pastor school one year, Brother Howes had a had a Bible preacher in, a man that was known for Bible expository Bible preaching, great Bible preacher. And I mean a great Bible preacher. I mean, he could deliver the goods. And a little bit more of a camp meeting flavor. And he was preaching at pastor school, and he brought a delegation. It was on a Thursday night. He brought a delegation of people from his church. A whole bunch of them came on a couple of buses. Traveled a pretty good distance to get there. And they were all sitting down toward the front there in the old auditorium, First Baptist Church, years ago. And Brother House was up there preaching. The guest speaker was up there, the pastor of their church. And he's preaching out of Matthew 24. Man, he was laying out some wonderful Bible truths about the rapture. Some wonderful Bible truths about the coming of Christ. And I mean, man, those folks from his church, they were shouting and waving their arms. Old boys jumping up and saying, hey, and that's fine. No, not a problem. The rest of the crowd was too. We were too. Amen. Wonderful. Then Brother House followed that sermon up on Thursday night, that last evening message, with a message on the need that America has for churches to be built and for souls to be saved and for people to be witnesses. And that crowd got as quiet as a mouse. Old Dr. House, man, he didn't let it go. He said, why aren't you folks shouting now? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. See, it's so easy to get your focus on the coming of the kingdom. So easy to get your focus on heaven. Now, I'm not opposed to songs on heaven. I love it. I'm not opposed to teaching on heaven. I love it. I'm not opposed to teaching about the return of Christ. It's wonderful. It excites my heart. It makes me happy. I wave my hand, but I don't ever want to get so focused on that time that I lose sight of this time. Does that make sense to you all? And so he corrects them. He said, fellas, you got your eyes on the wrong time. Got your eyes on the wrong clock. Okay? So he corrects his disciples. Now, the second thing he does here is not only corrects the disciples, but he conditions the disciples. He conditions them. In verse number 8, and the very first part of the verse, he says to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. He conditions them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. There is something far more important for the disciples to be aware of than the coming kingdom. They need not expect a kingdom, but they can expect power. They need not expect a visitation from King Jesus, but they could expect a visitation from the Holy Spirit. And that was their great need. Their great need was for power, power, and more power. They needed power beyond anything they could muster up, anything they could pull together. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit is coming to infuse you with the power you need. Don't expect the visitation from King Jesus. Expect the visitation from the Holy Ghost. Now see, the problem is they were not properly conditioned for the work that Jesus had for them to do. In fact, it's interesting to me that even before the commission was given, that's coming up later in verse 8. Before the commission was given, Jesus had already told His disciples that in their current condition, you're not suited for the job I have for you to do. This is why you can expect a visitation from the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever told you of your inability to do the job before giving you the job description? That's exactly what Jesus did to these disciples. I remember when I went to work at Thrall Carr, you know, they hired me at Thrall Carr to be a welder knowing I didn't have any experience. None. I never held a welding stick in my hand. I didn't know a welding stick from a MIG welder. Didn't know, didn't grow up around that kind of thing. Some of you guys have. But I didn't. I sat there in the interview room with that guy, the public relations guy there at Thrall Carr over there in Chicago Heights. And he went through all this thing, have you ever, no, have you ever, no, have you ever, no, have you ever, no. It's like going to the doctor, having him read off all that list of stuff to you. That's what Cecil Ballard and Dan Woodward told on me. Down at that airport that time that I flew into Oklahoma City for that missions conference, and they were already there, and I had preached with Rick Fox in St. Louis and went to Oklahoma City for the last of the missions conference, and Cecil and Brother Woodward, Brother Ballard met me at the airport, picked me up and said, I said, Brother Vineyard, there's a missionary over, if I forget where, it's at some foreign country, had a terrible accident, he needs blood, and he needs blood here from America, and Brother Vineyard wants all the pastors to give blood. I said, what? He said, yeah, all the pastors need to give blood. There's a Red Cross station right over here at the airport. You might as well give Brother Vineyard. He said, just go ahead and have you give it right over here. I said, man, I don't like giving blood. He said, oh, yes, you need to give blood. They got a big thing set up at the church. They're lying through their teeth. Liars. And I don't want to disappoint Brother Vineyard. Cecil, you know Cecil. Brother Ballard, he could be the most convincing liar that there ever is. He said, you got to understand, this missionary needs blood, man. Don't you know he needs blood? I said, all right. So they sat down in a little room. I went over there, and I sat down, and the nurse started through that questionnaire. Have you ever had a homosexual experience? I looked at those guys. Man, I heard this. I said, wait a minute. And they had given her $5 and set her up to ask me all these questions. Yeah, a bunch of dogs. You got friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Good grief. But you go to the doctor, they have that long list of things. You ever had no. Do you have any sanity? No. You didn't get used to answering no. So that guy, he asked me, they hired me knowing that I was not conditioned for the job. And Jesus is going to commission these men to do a job that he knows they're not conditioned for. So he says, no. He says, you don't need to expect a visit from King Jesus, but what you need to expect is a visit from the Holy Ghost. Because more than you need anything for the job you're about to do, you need power. Now, church, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? This lesson was already made. I mean, we're already going here before the message Brother Kidd brought on Sunday night. That's why I said what I did. When it was all over, I was so glad he preached that, because it just goes hand in hand with where we were going on Wednesday night in the Bible study. But I tell you what, the thing the people of God need in this day and age more than anything is power. And I tell you what, not the kind of power that John Maxwell and other authors who bring a business model to a church, for a church to follow a model from the world of business to grow a church, that's not how Jesus said to do it. And that's what's happening to independent Baptist church pastors. And you've got some very influential, charismatic, independent Baptist guys who have taken a left and embracing contemporary worship, and they're embracing and holding hands. I mean, I've seen pictures of them, guys. A couple of guys that have stood behind either this pulpit or the one in the other building. And sitting there holding arm in arm with the leading men of this emergent church movement. And right there, our goal is to influence younger independent Baptist pastors in this direction. Stated it. And it's all developed after a business model. That's not how a church goes about building a church. What a church needs is the power of God. That's what a church needs. Maybe I should be more vocal. I don't call a lot of names unless they're just obviously way out in left field. I'm trying not to call names of independent Baptist people, but I'm going to tell you something. There, you know, you say, well, Brother Angel had this guy one time, never had him back. Maybe there's some things I know. Maybe there's a direction that that's going that I don't want to have. I don't bring back here. You see what I'm saying? We don't need a business model from John Maxwell and those guys. We need the old-fashioned power of the Holy Spirit of God to come on God's people, to come on God's church. That's how Jesus conditioned these people for the job He had for them. The first thing you need, first and foremost, you are going to have some power. And I have to. You have to have it. That means The thing I need more than anything when I come to the pulpit to preach is the power of God. The thing this choir needs when they get ready to sing on Sunday more than anything else is the power of God. The thing any Sunday school teachers needs is the power of God. The thing the bus captain needs is the power of God. The thing that an usher needs is the power of God. The thing that musicians need is the power of God. That's what we need. That's our great need. By the way, you need it in your home too. So He conditions them. He corrects them, and then He conditions them, and then He commissions them. In the end of verse number 8, He says, "You shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So they were to be witnesses, not watchers. Their message was Jesus saves, not Jesus comes. No doubt, but they understood the need for power when they understood the scope of the mission. The scope of the mission makes the need for power undeniable. The scope is the world. There would never be a time when the disciples should be more concerned about the kingdom than witnessing, not when the whole world was their field. You can see that Jesus intended for them to stay busy witnessing in one of the smallest words in verse number 8. One of the smallest words in verse number 8, that little word, B-O-T-H. Both. Do you see it? "You should be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." They were to start in Jerusalem, but they were not to quit in Jerusalem. They were to move to all Judea. But once they got started there, they were not to stop there. They were to go to Samaria, but not to leave Samaria altogether. They were to end up in the uttermost part of the earth, but they were not to finish there. Not quit, not stop, not leave, not finish. Just keep being a witness. Do it at home. Go a little further and further. Further and further, and you don't leave here to go here and then leave here to go here. You start here and keep doing it here and expand. And then you do it here and you go further. And you do it here and you go further so that witnessing is going on around. And by the way, church, that ought to be our world. Our vision needs to be a world vision. Faith Baptist Church, I've said it before, needs a world vision. We have to take this personally as a church. Personally. And I tell you what, thank God for the folks who've left here to go out and serve on foreign mission fields to the uttermost part of the earth. Thank God for the folks who will leave here, like going to Quincy, to our Judea. And thank God for those of you involved in our Jerusalem. But I'll tell you something. You know what? We're really not turning out enough to go to all these places. Go to all these places. God's not going to call everybody, but don't tell me He's not going to call anybody. We got to get our worldview. Parents, I hope that you have a worldview in your home. Get your eyes off a career and make sure that your children are in the will of God. I read the other day where 3,100 churches close every year right here in the United States of America. That's not Baptist churches, that's all kinds. All kinds. That's a lot of churches closing their doors. A lot of them. We got to get to all the world. I don't think we have time to try to take a Bible and figure out what day the rapture is going to take place. Not when the whole world is our field. And that's what Jesus is saying to these men. And the 120, there's 120 of them. Your field is the world. You start and you keep at it and you keep at it. And Faith Baptist Church needs to have a vision of sending, of not only supporting missionaries to go to these places around the world, but sending our own. Sending our own. And we need a revival amongst the youth to get their eyes up and look on the field. It's hard to do that when you can't hardly get them to sing in music class. Much less keep their eyes on the world as a field. Sad. It's all sad. The Faith Baptist Church needs to have a vision that is the world. That's our responsibility, not just Bourbonnais, Kankakee Bradley, but the entire world. It's not time to take your Bible and try to figure out that Jesus is coming in September or November or next March or whatever. It's time to take our Bible and say, look to somebody, this is how you can know Christ as Savior. That's what it's time for. Now, look at verse 9 and 10. Look it out here. So He's given them, He has corrected them, He has conditioned them, and now He has commissioned them. All right? I got sidetracked on that conditioning. That guy at Thrall Carr hired me knowing that he had the resources to teach me how to weld. Jesus gave these guys a commission knowing that He had the resource for them to fulfill it. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So then Jesus corrected, He conditioned, and He commissioned, and then He was received up into a cloud, and He vanished out of sight, gone. Jesus in bodily form, I'm almost done, was gone from the earth. But now wait a minute. Acts is the story of the continuation of the work and ministry of Christ. Not the end, the continuation. He had used His earthly body as a tool to carry out His work and mission while He was on the earth. The Gospel of Luke was about Jesus Christ on the earth in a body. Right? So what He did on the earth, He did in a body. A body that had 2 feet, a body that had legs, a body that had 2 hands, a body that had arms, a body that had eyes, ears, a nose. He did His work, carried out His work and His ministry through His body. That's what the Gospel of Luke was about. Now, the book of Acts is a continuation of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, but His body is gone. So how does He continue that work and mission today if He is not here in bodily form? Well, the answer is, He is here in bodily form. Because Colossians 1:18 says, and He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ does have a body to carry out His work. Jesus Christ does have a body to continue His mission. And that body is this church. And other local churches like this one. And this is what that's what we talked about the first week. We talked about this wonderful book of Acts and what it is. It's a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And His body is gone. How is His work going to continue? But in reality, His body is not gone. He is the head of the body, which is the church. We are now part of His body. All bodies have a head. A headless body is in bad shape. A body gets its orders from its head, right? Sure it does. That brain up here. Our head tells our arm what to do. A ball comes flying this way, we react. Sending out impulses all the time. Our body gets its orders from its head. Jesus is the head of the church, and as such, we take our orders from Him. We do not have to speculate. We don't have to form a committee. We don't have to have a vote. We don't have to have a 3-week prayer conference to decide what the orders are. Everybody, each body whose head is Christ, knows what its orders are. Its orders are in verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the order. That's what the head said before he left. The head said to the body, this is your work. This is your mission. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that music and Sunday school and other things we do here at church are unnecessary? No. They are necessary. I'll tell you why they're necessary. Because God uses all of those things, the music and the training and the teaching and the programs. God uses all of those things to create a healthy body so that a healthy body can carry out the orders from its head. Get the gospel to the world. That's why music is so important. If music is not right, your body gets sick. When your body gets sick, it affects the world focus. This is the continuation of the work and ministry of Christ through His body, the church. If you can think back to 2 weeks ago, Gospel of Luke, the days of Jesus being straightened were over. The days of His unlimited ministry begin in the book of Acts. This is what a church is. A church is a body taking orders from its head to go into all the world with the gospel and let people know while there's still time to be saved. Any group calling itself a church that does not concern itself with getting the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth is disobeying its head. Have you ever seen a chicken with his head cut off? Y'all, many of y'all have seen that, haven't you? All over the place. There's no head. No head. Christ is our head. We have our orders. And you know what? You know who this falls on? I'll tell you who this falls on. This falls on the guy you're looking at right now. Because being the under shepherd, I have to come and come and come and remind and remind. And sometimes people get mad. And sometimes people get frustrated. And sometimes people get upset. One time I talked about, you know, soul winning is not the only thing, but it is the main thing. And a guy wanted to quit one of his ministries because he said, well, if soul winning is the main thing, what I'm doing is not the main thing. I'm not coming at you to get mad. Where you get mad, I'm just coming at you to remind you that we have orders from our head. And we are His body. And the work in the ministry of Jesus Christ is supposed to continue through the body of Christ. And that work is to get the gospel to the world. So please don't tire of hearing that. Because ultimately it falls on me to remind and remind and remind and remind and throw another program up and next spring do another survey thing and next fall do something else. And then let's keep fussing those kids in and let's keep having another missions conference because that's what our head has ordered. The orders remain as directed. Did you get that thing that comes in the mail today? That paper? What is it called? Country Market? Is that what it is? Did y'all get that? I mean, I got this lesson all time. So I get the mail today when I come in. I'm looking at the bottom of the page, and here's this church in our area advertising this coming Sunday the blessing of the animals. The blessing of the animals. Bring your cats, bring your dogs, bring your chickens, bring your goats. Put them on a lead or a leash, a cage or some little thing. We're going to get out on the lawn. We're going to sing. We're going to pray over all these. Can you imagine? I'm going to put a blessing on an animal real soon. I'm going to bless one. I hope I'm going to bless one. Here you go. Enjoy this blessing. Goodness. We have organizations calling themselves churches that are engaged and involved in all kinds of crazy nonsense stuff. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Our head gave those orders to His body before He left. This is the emphasis. Get the gospel to the world. So you know what I say to church, us, the body of Christ here at this corner, the street corner, man, let's be busy about it. Jump in. Let's have a good time. Come on Tuesday. There are a couple of folks had people saved last night on visitation. Let's just keep at it and keep at it. You say, well, I don't see these people coming to church. Sometimes they do. You don't see them. Sometimes they don't. We're not to give the increase. Only God gives the increase. We plant, we water, we go, we tell, we witness, we warn. We try to go with the power of God and with a concerned heart and a compassionate heart. But church, this will always be our business. It will always be our business. It will always be our business. That's what our head said before he left. The head said to the body, go out. And there is a different spirit about a church that will keep that on the main burner. There is a different spirit. I travel enough. I know it's hard for me sometimes to gauge the spirit of Faith Baptist Church because I'm here all the time. But you can tell when you walk into a church who's got that main, who's still got the main emphasis, the main emphasis. And you can tell when you walk into a church where they've lost it. That's the bottom line. So, body, our head has spoken. Our head has given its orders. I don't think the hand tells the head no. If your head tells your hand to move and it doesn't move, you've got a problem. Am I right? You got a physical problem. If your head tells your feet to walk and your feet don't move, you got to go to the doctor. You got to figure something out quick. Because something's not right. And when the head has spoken, get the gospel to the world, and the body says back to the head, no, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to bless the animals. I don't think the head's very pleased. Amen. What a great need there is for us just to bring this back to the pulpit once and over again. Church, this is or should be our focus. Let's get the gospel to the Lord. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Spirit of God, be with us. Help us. Bless us. I pray, Lord Jesus, please. I pray that you help us to just keep this thing on the front burner and never to get sidetracked. If we can do some things along the way that are a little unique and different, that's great. And have a little music on Sunday that'll be fun and enjoyable. But Lord, our focus is getting the gospel. Getting the gospel. Help us to stay at it. Our head has spoken. May the body follow and obey, take its orders as it should. In Jesus' name.